Welcome to Penn Weekly. Welcome to the show on the 27th here, and right now we have Sun Penn on the line. Sun, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Not really an eventful week for basketball this week, but life goes on, and we must talk about the Lakers' disaster season, which some seems like it's starting to turn a corner. The Lakers have only lost, I think, 4 games this month, and they're four games over 500 this month. And, you know, there's talk of playoffs. They're still about 3.5 games out. And what do you think of the Lakers this week, Son?
I think they've been playing well, as their record indicates. They won, as we all know, 11 out of their last 16 games, so 11-5 in their last 16. They've also won 3 of their 4 games coming out of the All-Star break, beating the Celtics, the Blazers, and the Mavericks. And I think the Denver loss is one of those scheduled losses where they go on the road on a back-to-back to a team that likes to run and where they're hard to beat. So losing that game wasn't that big of a deal. They're not going to win every game the rest of the season, especially if they're a sub-500 team. You expect losses. And that game would have been great if they won it, but they lost it. I don't think it's that big of a deal as a lot of people are making it. Although they did lose by giving up maybe 140 points of paint and about 60 dunks.
it was definitely a game that the Lakers were meant to lose, and I think the Lakers knew they were going to lose, so I think they let the Nuggets score as many points as they wanted in the paint. And yeah, that's pretty embarrassing, but you know, it's okay. I guess the tough thing about that loss is that D'Antoni played the starter so many minutes that it was just really tough for it's a really good thing that they have two days in between games, get everybody's legs rested. But yeah, it's looking good, and hopefully the Lakers will make the playoffs. I think the most alarming thing with the Lakers right now, other than the fact that teams can run on them, just like teams ran on us in intramural basketball.
Yeah, very poor court balance.
At that time when we were playing intramural basketball, none of us understood the idea of what court balance was. So there's like 4 guys in the paint, and then when a shot went up, there's always a 1-on-4 every time. So, we were not smart basketball players back then, not at all.
Oh, yeah, we were pretty bad, especially in transition and rebounding.
Right. So take a look ahead at the Lakers' schedule. Do you think when Pau Gasol comes back, you think he'll be a factor, or will they start struggling again like they did earlier in the season?
Oh, no, I think he'll be a factor off the bench. He'll solidify that bench unit, which is playing really well. As soon as Steve Blake came back and got some solid rotation minutes, so I think he'll be good. Earl Clark has been slipping lately. I think he only had 1 rebound against the Nuggets. It looks like he's not sustaining the high level he was enjoying earlier this season. So Gasol will help pick up the slack there, I think.
Yeah, teams are probably figuring him out, and he just didn't have a good game in Denver just because he didn't play very many minutes. But it looks like tomorrow's game is going to be on TNT.
Right, yeah, against the Timberwolves.
Timberwolves are going to be played on national TV. Normally when a small team that never gets played on TV plays on TV, they don't really play poorly. So looks like the Lakers should win tomorrow. And let's take a look. Yeah, then they have Atlanta coming up, and then they have OKC coming up as well. Another loss right there playing at Oklahoma. But from the looks of things, it looks like the Lakers have a lot of winnable games, but there are also a lot of them on the road. And when we say winnable games, those are the games they were losing at the beginning of the season. So you know, hopefully it'll be all right.
Yeah, the Rockets and the Jazz and the Warriors all lost today.
All right. You know, it's so strange to be scoreboard watching, you know, just staring at these standings, hoping these other teams lose. they really need some help.
Right. They need a lot of help. Do you think that David Stern suspended David Lee for tonight's game against the Knicks so that the Lakers can have a better chance of making the playoffs?
Yeah, I hope so, but I hope they suspend him for another week. Though the Warriors almost won that game. Steph Curry scored 54 points and shot 11 for 13 on the three-point line. So, you know, I'm sure that was a really exciting game to watch if you were watching it.
I didn't catch it, but yeah, it sounds really fun. I don't know how they lost.
I saw the highlights. J.R. Smith had a big game. He made 6 three-pointers, I think, and made a couple at the end of the game there. So kind of stretched out the lead. And, yeah, it was an interesting week of basketball. And I guess the biggest news, I think, this week is LeBron James's warm-up dunks. And why do you think he does these dunks during the warm-ups, but he can't do it during a dunk contest? Why do you think he does that?
I don't know. I have some theories. I have a theory of, you know, the owner, Mickey Arison, has been tweeting about LeBron James's warm-up dunks so that people could get to their seats by the start of the first quarter. Thing that in Miami where a lot of fans show up fashionably late, a la the L.A. Laker fan.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason is he wants to show critics who say he can't win a dunk contest or is afraid of doing a dunk contest. So he does all these dunks showing that, you know, if he did these dunks in a dunk contest, he would win. And another thing is that he thinks the dunk contest is beneath him, that he doesn't need to do one of those. Then because the superstars don't do them anymore, like they did in the 80s. So those are a few theories that I have, but, you know, or maybe just wants to tease fans. Who knows?
I just don't understand. You know, one thing I think that would solidify his legacy the most would be to win one dunk contest. You know, Kobe won one. J.R. Ryder. Yeah, he'd be up there with all those big names.
Yeah. The Harold Miner, 2-time champ. Nate Robinson, 3-time champ.
You know, Desmond Mason. You know, he wants to be up there with Desmond Mason. You know, that would really solidify his legacy, I think.
And Dwight Howard. I actually recently watched the dunk contest marathon. And Dee Brown won. I forgot about that. But Cedric Ceballos did his blindfold dunk.
Oh, yeah,
I'm convinced he could see through that blindfold.
You know, that doesn't make sense how he couldn't see. He had to have seen. There's no way.
I'm just thinking I couldn't do a layup with a blindfold on. I don't know how he was so confident. I saw the build up. He was walking back, counting his steps. You know, whatever. And then he he jumps from the perfect spot and dunks it cleanly. His hands were not surprised when he touched the rim. And then he grabbed the stanchion. You know, as a kid, I believe he didn't blindfold without being able to see, but, you know, I'm 100% convinced he is not impeded at all by the blindfolded sight-wise.
Oh, for sure. There's no way. But, yeah, that's where LeBron James needs to be. He needs to be up there with Cedric Ceballos. Brent Berry and a lot of Hall of Famers who won a slam dunk contest.
You could tell it was a big deal back then because as I was rewatching them, like I said, Sean Kemp entered the contest 3 times and would have done it a fourth year, but he was injured. So he would have done it 4 times. Michael Finley did it 2 or 3 times, I can't remember. A lot of big name dunkers, they did it multiple times trying to win it, but they never could.
Yeah, so that's true. It was a really big deal to be a slam dunk champion. Now it's not really that big of a deal. And no, it's too bad. It's too bad. It's not a big enough deal anymore.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but. You know, I sound like one of those guys who always talk about the slam dunk contest, but, you know, I do like it, but at the same time, it's not that big of a deal.
It's not, but, you know, when I do watch slam dunk contest and I see a dunk I've never seen before, I get pretty excited. You know, first time, like, seeing Jason Richardson's slam dunk contest in 2003 was a really exciting thing to do. Or Vince Carter in 2000. So, I mean, it's exciting, but, you know, when there's guys who I know won't be in the NBA next year, it's not that exciting to watch. Like Yari Evans. Yeah, he's on the team anymore.
Wait, who?
The guy who won last year on the Jazz.
Jeremy Evans?
Oh, Jeremy Evans. Yeah, I don't even know his name.
Well, he was in the dunk contest this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He dunked over himself. That's right. I mean, that's
right.
The only thing I heard from.
Well, so. He does average only 1.4 points a game.
Yeah, there has to be a rule. You have to average at least 10 points a game to be in the dunk contest.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to find people who want to participate. So you got to get people where you can, I guess.
Might as well get people off the street. I mean, I think that's what they did with James White.
Well, James White is a...
He's on the Knicks.
Yeah, he's on the Knicks, and he's an internet phenomenon. Or...
He's also 5 years past his prime.
Right, he's no longer in his prime to do all these dunks, but... Too bad. He would have been a great contestant.
Speaking of other contests, let's go ahead and move on to movies Biggest Night, the Academy Awards. And pretty much everything turned out the way everybody predicted it to be, other than the best director going to Ang Lee. But going down the winner's list, you have Argo winning Best Picture and Ang Lee winning Best Director, Best Actor Daniel Day-Lewis, Best Actress Jennifer Lawrence, Supporting Actor Christoph Waltz, Supporting Actress Anne Hathaway, and Director Ang Lee, I already said that, and Best Screenplay, Quentin Tarantino. Yeah, so, I mean, no big surprises, but overall, all the movies that all the people I was rooting for won, and I think everybody was well-deserved of the awards. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess. I haven't seen Life of Pi or any of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was surprised Life of Pi won Best Director, because I don't think I've heard anybody talk about him winning Best Director. A lot of people are talking about Steven Spielberg. Other than that, there were no surprises in the big categories. Christoph Waltz, maybe?
Maybe.
I thought he was going to win.
I mean, you probably normally you don't win the same award with the same director in almost a similar type of role. But I guess you could do it. And I think Tommy Lee Jones is probably the most angry at that, because he probably should have won for U.S. Marshals. You know, he did the same exact role as he did in Fugitive, so.
Well, I guess. A little different. He would have been the lead actor.
Ah, yeah, that's right.
So, a small difference there. Too much.
No big surprises. Everybody deserved it, and I'm happy that Argo won, and you know, I thought Seth MacFarlane did a good job as a host. I was really dreading Seth MacFarlane. I used to like The Family Guy when I was a teenager, but as a grown man, you know, it's kind of hard to like The Family Guy. But
it's not bad.
No, it's not. It's not a bad show. Just kind of sophomoric, and the same jokes past 10, 15 years. So I was happy, you know, with his performance as host. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of fun surprises. The spotlight on musicals was great. And, you know, I'm excited for next year's show.
Yeah, I think they'll have a... I don't know who you think will be host. Who knows? Seth Rogen. I don't know.
Jane Lynch. Just kidding. Probably find somebody. Maybe Ben Stiller.
Oh. I think they should have a Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh my goodness.
It'll probably be like a Jimmy Kimmel or something.
Or Jimmy Fallon, maybe. But who knows? I'm hoping it's an actor who normally doesn't do these types of shows.
Paul Bettany.
Oh, yeah, that'd be perfect.
So I have a question. This is back to the basketball, actually. What do you think of Derek Fisher signing with the Oklahoma City Thunder?
You know, I mean, I just can't believe how many times Derek Fisher could get out of a contract and use his family as an excuse. I mean, how many times can he do it before people start saying, what are you doing? You know, the Jazz fans are mad, Mavericks are mad, the Rockets are mad. And you're just like, I don't know, what's this guy's real motivation? I know he wants to play basketball in a good situation and win championships. So we're happy that he could pursue that. But these owners are just like, okay, well, whatever this guy wants to do, we can do it. So it's kind of suspect. But, you know, since Derek Fisher is known around the league as a really great guy, you know, I'm not going to really just jump all over his case and hate him.
Right. Well, I think it's actually totally suspect. As a Laker fan, I actually am on the, probably in the minority of being a Derek Fisher. I don't know if I'm a fan. I don't know if I go that far, but I'm an advocate, I guess. I didn't think he was lying when he wanted to be with his family while he was on the Jazz and he has to be released. I believe him then. the Rocket situation. He just wanted to be bought out. He didn't want to play for them. So they bought him out. So when this past event this year, he wanted to be on. He signed with the Mavericks. He said he was going to be there long term. And then he asked for a release when he got injured in the ninth game. His injury would have only taken him out 2 weeks, but he said he wanted to be with his family. So they released him. A lot of people are saying that he just wanted to have, he needs to be on a roster this year so he could be eligible to be the Players Association representative.
Oh,
and he
okay.
just got voted. Yeah, so he just got, during the All-Star break, he just got voted in as that.
Mm-hmm.
After he got voted in, he signed with the Thunder. He didn't call the Mavericks to say that he wanted to come back, which is a reason a lot of people are mad on the Mavericks side. Mm-hmm. So I think in this case, Fisher maybe probably lied about being with his family. At this point, do we have a catfish situation here? Does Derek Fisher really have a family? I'm just kidding. We all know about his family, but we didn't know he had a family. I mean, we might have to do some fact checking. So in this case, I think he probably didn't do the best thing in the world. He probably lied to the Mavericks about wanting to stay there and wanting to play for them because. He didn't call the Mavericks back.
Oh wow!
After
I didn't know.
After deciding he wanted to play again, and he just called, I guess, the Thunder and said he wanted to come back, and they signed him.
Now, when he signed with the Thunder, did he cite the reasons he wanted to spend less time with his family? He was kind of sick of them. He just was like, you know, I had enough family time. He spent some time away from him. Was that one of his reasons?
Perhaps. Maybe he said it, but in between the lines, you can guess that, I suppose.
He's like, I'm not. I don't want to press anymore. It's strange, but you know, honestly, I don't have a problem with players being disloyal because teams are really disloyal to players all the time. So, you know, there's really no super loyalty. I think players should feel ultimately when they could have a good situation come out from. Because, teams will cut people and trade people without even telling.
Well, they do tell them, but they show up one day. They're like, "Did you get a message?" They do tell them. I wonder. I didn't look into this. If the Mavericks are still paying for his salary this year, and in essence, if they're paying for him to play on the Thunder, I don't know. I
don't
look that up. I don't think they are. If they were, I'd be really mad.
Yeah, no, I don't think they are. I think they bought him out and waived him. So it was a clean break. The thing is, Derek Fisher, he was averaging 8 points and 4 assists a game for the Mavericks. He had a 20-point game. I mean, I think he could still play basketball.
Well, yeah, I don't. Well, the Mavericks, they wanted him. If he came back right around this time, I think they would have taken him back because they needed their guard. A fourth guard, I should say. So,
oh, yeah. Backup point guard. Yeah, he's a good, you know. Derek Fisher would be really good for the Thunder. And Derek Fisher can still draw some fouls and act like he's been murdered on the court. He could still do that. And he could hit the occasional open three-pointer.
Yeah. He can do those things. He can get the and one plays against the Lakers like he did last year.
Oh, yeah. It's so unbelievable how you think he's that guy who would never score a point in the entire game, but somehow, you know, he makes one or two baskets a game and you're always really surprised.
Yeah. Now you know how the rest of the NBA felt.
It's just amazing how this guy was a starter last year on the Lakers.
Yeah. Have the Lakers had a point guard who could defend since Magic Johnson?
No. No, Derek Fisher's actually a good defender, though. Not Derek Fisher's last couple of years when he couldn't really move side to side anymore. But he's always been a pretty good defender. I mean, Lindsey Hunter was a good defender. Ron Harper was a good defender.
He wasn't really a point guard, more of a de facto point guard. But
he's a point guard in triangle.
I guess. De facto. Magic Johnson wasn't really a good defender either. He was a good team defender, but, I mean, he got killed by small guards, as you can imagine. Kevin Johnson.
Kevin Johnson.
Guys like that in the 80s. Yeah, so really, you make the case they haven't had a guard to point guard who could defend since
Gary Payton.
Well, at least 30 years. No, Gary Payton was awful on the Lakers. He couldn't defend Chauncey Billups or Rip Hamilton in the finals. Big reason why the Lakers lost that series.
That's interesting news from the Lakers. And, it's good for Derek Fisher. And hopefully he'll win that sixth championship he's always wanted.
Yeah, he's chasing Robert Horry right now for best role player of all time.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great week. We'll go ahead and focus on the Lakers and see how well they do this week. And, Son, do you have anything to plug?
I don't. I think Mad Men premieres pretty soon.
Oh, good. Actually, all the cable shows should be premiering pretty soon, right?
Well, yes. I don't know. I mean,
like all the, they're all coming back. Like Psych, The Walking Dead just came back. Breaking Bad should be coming back soon.
Breaking Bad will not be coming back soon. I think it's this summer.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, at the earliest. They haven't announced it yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's funny, dude. These cable shows, they just come back on their own.
I know, it's like, when are you going to come back? What are you?
Well, all right then. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week.